Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
We're facing into a looming energy crisis. That's the warning we've heard from various places in recent days and weeks. And the government now has commissioned a review from a former senior civil servant into the issue of energy supply and demand. That comes after reports of disquiet, even anger within the coalition, as to how we ended up in this situation. Well, Don Moore is the former managing director of ESB International, and he joins me in the studio now. In a moment, I'll also speak to Timmy Dooley, Fianna Fáil senator and member of the Oireachtas this Committee on Climate Action and the Environment. But Don, first to you, thanks very much for coming in. The report that we heard ordered by government asking that question, how did we get into this position? What would your answer be to that question?
Well, I'm surprised that they were surprised because the information has been out there in plain sight. Airgrid identified the projected gap between supply and demand in its annual capacity statement in 2017. Now, just to explain how the process works, Airgrid are tasked with looking ahead 10 years. They take information from the IDA on incoming industry, they look at population projections, and they see what generation will be required. And that statement is on their website. It's there for everyone to see. And I presume it's also sent to the Department of Environment, Communications and Transport, because that's where they sit. Now, having identified a lack of generation back in 2017, the job then goes to the Commission for Regulation of Utilities, the CRU, and they're tasked with actually encouraging developers to actually build new generation in the Irish system. And so, again, it's published on their website, so how it could be a surprise, I don't know. Unfortunately, the process that they were managing failed. And it failed because the terms that they were offering were not attractive to developers. They were offering guarantees for 10 years, and that's a very short time in terms of financing a power plant project, you know, where they have to
borrow. So are you saying then that everyone knew that this problem was coming, but the problem just wasn't addressed?
Yes, I am. I am saying that. Ignored, hoped it would go away. And in fact, that's the story of the whole energy crisis. You know, we decided we'd depend on a pipeline from Scotland for all our gas, bar the declining Corrib field. We decided to have no gas storage. We decided to ban exploration for further exploration for gas in Irish waters on the basis that, sure, nothing might happen. Something was going to happen. And by the way, can I stress, it's nothing to do with the war between Russia and Ukraine.
I was just going to say that to you. That was the unpredictable part of all this, surely.
The unpredictable part. But no, this was a crisis. In fact, it first emerged into the public last October when an initial attempt by the CRU and Airgrid to bring emergency generation to Ireland failed. And people were surprised, because no one had ever told them or shared with them the fact that renewable energy needs to be backed up by gas-fired generation. It wasn't mentioned anywhere. The Climate Action Plan talks about 10,000 megawatts, more megawatts of renewable energy, mainly wind and solar. But no one mentioned the corresponding amount of gas-fired generation. It's as though we were embarrassed by that.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that in a moment. But last week when the Commission for the Regulation of Utilities issued that consultation document and proposed new tariffs on the largest energy users, and the aim was to reduce the demand between 5 and 7. Now, a lot of people were alarmed to hear that. Were you surprised?
No, I wasn't. It's probably a prudent thing to do. But I think it should be said that most of the big industrial energy users have backup generation. The data centres, for example, who are much in the news these days, they all have backup generation because it would be catastrophic if, for any reason, power from the grid failed.
Mm-hmm. What are the generators powered by?
They're diesel generators.
Do we want those now?
No, we don't. They're only for emergency normally. So it would be, they'd be switched on for an hour or two. But in a crisis, it would be an alternative to actually power outages or load shedding.
So is that what we're facing then, that we'll have these diesel generators switched on for 2 hours a day possibly?
Or an hour a day, or it could be 10 minutes a day, you know? So there is a solution. It's a crisis. There is a solution. The
doesn't fit with our climate action plan, that we would have to have industry relying on something like that.
It doesn't, because we haven't planned properly enough. Could I also point out that both AirGrid and the CRU, they report to the Department of Environment, Communications and Transport, right? So presumably they know everything that AirGrid and the CRU know. And you would have thought that they would be sharing that information across government. Instead, it's very hard to actually get information from them.
Yeah, you see, the Taoiseach said yesterday that people would have perhaps expected an earlier warning system to be in place on the energy crisis.
Well, it was there. It was given by AirGrid, as I say, back in 2017. And it's available on their website for everybody to read. And not only that, I presume they're in constant communication with their relevant department. And
so he shouldn't have been surprised.
No. In fact, it's a mystery as to why it is a why it was a surprise.
All right, but let's bring in Timmy Dooley now on this, Fianna Fáil Senator. And also, Timmy, people might know you're a member of the Oireachtas Committee on Climate Action and the Environment. What do you say to all of that, that Don Moore is saying, that really there should be no surprise here, that all of this was known back in 2017?
Good morning, Claire, and good morning, Don. Well, I suppose it's like anything. Information is there, but if it's not amplified or highlighted, it becomes difficult for politicians to take certain actions or decisions. And for sure, the information is there on the website, and it's in certain reports if you are in a position or are minded to go looking for it. But the reality is that AirGrid's responsibility, and it's set out on their website too, is to develop and operate the grid so that everyone has power when and where they need it. And they are responsible for the safe, secure and reliable supply of electricity both now and in the future. And then the CRU work independent of government, and their mission is to protect the public interest in energy by ensuring that there's a safe and secure and sustainable energy at a reliable cost. So those two entities, whilst they're seen as within the overall remit or arm of government, which they are, they're state entities, state agencies, in my view, that's where the issues arise. I certainly don't recall, and both have been before our committee on various occasions over the years, I don't recall anybody raising a flag and saying, we have a problem, we have a potential problem. We need a legislative input. We need a change in direction or government policy to address the crisis. And
well, what
that's
more can AirGrid do?
Like,
AirGrid wrote this down in 2017, so someone dropped the ball. It wasn't AirGrid because they had done the proper assessment, or so it seems. It was government.
No, but I mean, Claire, you'll be well familiar with detailed reports, and then you'll be familiar with executive summaries, and you'll be familiar with where a serious issue that requires a change of government policy or an intervention from government is communicated and amplified in a very direct way. And what I'm saying to you is I don't recall that happening. We've a very strong media in this country who identified issues and they highlight them when issues like that. And I don't recall the media identifying a problem based on their perusal of reports through the various different correspondence either. Mm-hmm. So whilst there may be information...
I just want to ask Don about that. Do you think that Timmy has a point there?
No.
It might have been written down, but it wasn't highlighted to politicians.
I don't accept that at all. Not only that, it's written in the executive summary of the generation capacity statement as well. And I presume that AirGrid and the CRU communicate with the department, I would imagine, on a weekly basis, that nothing that they're doing is a mystery to the department. And then it's the responsibility of the relevant minister to actually make sure that that information is shared across government. And obviously that hasn't happened, and you'd have to ask why. Furthermore, could I just say that the department commissioned its own report on energy security a number of years ago. It's never being published. Why, I would ask? Why? We've promised it, and I would urge that when it is published, it should be published in its entirety. We should not be given a summary, you know, or a selection.
Do you know anything about that, Timmy?
I knew that there was a report that is yet to be published, and I think it would have been very helpful if it was. I mean, the reality is there is now a very clear lack of generating capacity available to the Irish economy, and that is a very serious situation. I mean, Don has identified other issues in relation to access to oil and gas, and all of that somewhat separate, not uniquely separate, needs to be addressed. And it's well recognised that the more renewables you bring onto the grid, that you have to have extra capacity at certain times when the wind's not blowing or when the sun's not shining to the extent that it's needed to generate electricity. Overall, you'll be using less gas, quite frankly, but there are times when you need that intensive burst of generation.
How is this problem going to be solved? Because the only solution that I have heard today from Don is that there's these backup generators that the data centres have that are powered by diesel. I mean, why didn't the government ask them to have gas backups instead of diesel?
Well, I'm aware that a number of them are certainly in a position to use gas into the future, some of the ones that are planned, because they're being located close to the gas network. Yes, there's a lot of diesel capacity in and around data centres and other large users of electricity. And for sure, for short-term bursts where the potential to have to reduce electricity to the homes would be the other option, I think the ideal situation would be to permit those operators, those industries, to utilise gas for longer than they're currently licensed. And I think that would be an appropriate response to avoid the thing nobody wants to hear about, is which is having to have domestic homes reduce their demand at peak times, which many people just quite frankly cannot do.
And Don, you're in favour of that, of data centres being allowed to use those diesel generators for a longer period of time?
I am. Now, a lot of data centres are concentrated in the Dublin area for historical reasons. There was no reason at all why their backup generation could not have been gas. Was never required. They could have been gas from day one. You know, just ask them, and that could be a condition of their licenses. But it wasn't on. But can I just say, time is ticking on to actually correct a deficit in generation. The time span is over 3 years. You know, you have to build a power station, procure it. In fact, it might be near 4 years before you go through all the hoops. We need to start now, or we're going to have this problem again next winter and the winter after. So there's a history of complete inactivity. I mean, the big achievement was the Climate Action Plan, which is just a set of targets. There was no detailed planning as to how it was going to be implemented. And again, just an allied problem, we still can't build transmission lines in Ireland. If we can't build transmission lines, we can't build wind energy in Ireland. So this is all within the remit of government.
And this is going to take 3 to 4 years to solve, if we start now. But what happens in the intervening period? What does this winter look like? Because there was a gas price spike yesterday of 15%.
Well, Russia's playing games at the moment. You know, they announced yesterday they were going to close Nord Stream for 3 days for maintenance. They're teasing Germany especially. So prices will go up and go down. Again, can I point out, we took a deliberate decision not to have our own gas in Ireland, right? That was a direct policy decision. We have banned exploration for gas in Irish waters. We decided not to have any gas storage, and we decided not to have any LNG. And with regard to LNG, Germany, who had no LNG before the crisis, announced this week that it will commission its the first LNG of 5 planned next year.
Okay. So, Timmy, did you support the ban on gas exploration in Ireland?
Yeah, I certainly supported the ban on oil. I recognise, though, that we do need a continuation of a supply of gas. I've always made it very clear that gas is a transition fuel, and that as you bring on more renewables, you will need access to gas. So I've always held the view that we needed to continue to explore for gas on the fields that are in existence at the minute. And there is the potential with the Corrib gas to continue further exploration there using the same infrastructure that's actually in place.
That's it, though, isn't it? It's Corrib and that's it.
But there is talks about, I mean, at a stage, I think very few would have wanted to countenance investment in LNG. That has to be revisited in light of the changed geopolitical situation with the war in Ukraine.
At Shannon.
Well, wherever it's going to be, I mean, there is a proposal for Shannon, but like there are floating facilities around the world that can be utilised to store that liquefied gas. I mean, at the end of the day, what was the situation 2 years ago has changed very dramatically in the past 6 months because of what has happened in Russia. And you cannot then be bound to a policy decision 2 years ago when the circumstances changed fundamentally. Mm-hmm. And that's why there is a necessity to
have it. It's an important plank of the programme for government, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but don't forget, Claire, the programme for government was drafted and agreed in a very different situation, very different world politics at the time, very different geopolitical situation. The war in Ukraine has changed fundamentally the way that we now look at the supply and security of our energy supply. It should be forcing us, I think, to have a much more ambitious approach to capturing wind off our western seaboard and moving ahead with the production of hydrogen. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't happen overnight.
But you see, now you've suggested allowing the data centres to use their diesel generators for longer periods of time and to revisit LNG at Shannon. I mean, this is pointing towards a complete change in Ireland's climate commitments.
No, it's not. I mean, we still have to reduce our carbon output. There's no doubt about that. But we've got to transition much more quickly to a greater use of renewables. But it's clear that in order to use renewables for the vast amount of time when the wind is blowing or when the sun is shining, there will be pockets or periods of time where you'll need a massive capacity to generate electricity. And so therefore you need more generating capacity. It doesn't mean that you'll emit more fumes into the atmosphere. Quite frankly, you'll be emitting less because of the more renewables that you bring on. But for those short periods of time, as Don has identified in relation to the usage of diesel, I think that certainly should be progressed towards the use of gas.
Okay, you just wonder what else is going to be up for discussion now in our climate action plan. I have a listener saying, should we continue to push for 1 million electric vehicles? Should we continue to push for 600,000 heat pumps in homes? Can the electricity grid take that pressure, Don?
No, it can't, obviously, unless we catch up. Could I just make one point about exploration? There are existing licences that have not yet been exercised for exploring for gas. And the department has been very coy about whether they will be renewed or not. And I think it would be very worthwhile if the department, the minister, could now confirm that any existing licences that are coming up for renewal will be renewed. Can I just make a comment? Because I did notice Timmy mentioned green hydrogen, right, which is everyone's favourite fuel, except that it doesn't really exist at the moment. And we're hoping that it will be developed in a serious way towards the end of the 2030s. That's how far out
it
is.
Okay, so that's not going to help us this winter. Do you think we'll be asked, domestic customers will be asked to reduce electricity usage at peak times?
I think they should be. By the way, they should. What I'm talking about is, you know, your washing machine, your dryer, things like that. I mean, they don't have to be put on between 5 and 7 mm-hmm. in the evening. So I think there should be a campaign to urge people to shift those loads to less times.
Well, later on in the programme, we'll have some advice for people on reducing energy usage, and we'll be focused really on reducing the cost, because I know that's what a lot of people are concerned about. Don, thank you very much. Timmy, before we let you go, I just want to ask you a couple of questions about Robert Troy, your Fianna Fáil colleague, who's still under pressure in relation to his errors, as he calls them, with his Register of Interest and the Residential Tenancies Board. Do you think he should answer questions in the Dáil when the Dáil returns?
Well, look, you've rightly identified he has made some errors. He has corrected those, as I understand it, and provided that information to the clerk of the Dáil, and he's made it to SIPO. He's made a number of public statements, but there are still some questions that have arisen. I know Robert a long time, and I know he'll want to clarify this, and I would expect that he'll answer those questions and clarify that situation long before the Dáil comes back.
What do you think the questions
and he'll
are?
Have opportunities to do so, I would imagine, within the media.
What do you think the questions are in relation to the Residential Tenancies Board and why at least one property wasn't registered?
Well, that's something that he'll have to answer and explain that, and I'm sure he'll be in a position to do that, and I expect he will, and I don't think it'll drag on until the Dáil comes back, quite. quite frankly.
Do you think it would be helpful? Because I know that that your own party, Thinken, is in his constituency, and that might be sticky. And I think some of your party members have raised that in interviews, that this might be problematic. When we've been asking Robert Troy to come back on the programme and do an interview about all of this, he's so far refused. Would it be helpful if he did that, if not here, elsewhere?
Oh, no, I think it would be helpful from his own perspective to get, you know, clarity of all the questions. And I think over the last couple of days, different questions have arisen both in the media and by some opposition politicians. And I think he'll collate all of those, and I expect he'll make himself available in the not too distant future and address and clear up all of those misunderstandings that appear to be out there.
Mm-hmm. You're a long-term senator and formerly TD, so you'll be used to SIPO declarations. Are they complicated? He said he misunderstood them.
Well, I suppose they can be, depending on the amount of properties that you have or share portfolios, etc. He seems to have, and again, I'm only going off what I've read in the media, he seems to have gotten caught up in a situation where he provided information about properties that he'd had for a number of years, sold it during the course of the year. So when we fill out a declaration, we do so at the end of the year. You do it and you have to have it in by, I think it's, the 31st of January for the previous year. And it seems that he felt or understood that if he had disposed of the properties in the previous year, there was no need to put it in the next year's declaration.
Is that reasonable? I mean, most people listening to that, this would go, well, sure, listen, if you had it during the year and you're filling in something at the end of the year that corresponds to the previous 12 months, you include it.
Correct. But
it's what I'm saying. It's correct. My point is, it's easy enough to understand that, isn't it?
Yeah, but he seems to have had it registered for 5, 6, 7, 8 years back along and didn't include it at the end. Let's look at this in its most direct. There was no gain for him not to put it in. There was no gain for him to leave it out. So I accept his word that was an error. It was as he now accepts. A misunderstanding.
Yeah,
he has apologised for it. He recognised that it was a serious failing. He has apologised for it and he has corrected the record.
In terms of the thinking, Timmy, going ahead in his constituency, if he hasn't answered those questions, and you say he needs to answer them, if he hasn't answered them, should the thinking go ahead there?
Well, the thinking is already scheduled and it's going to go ahead. And as I said, I expect that Robert will have clarified all of that well in advance of the thinking. There's nothing here that, from what I can understand, that he wants to hide. He wants to get the information out there, and I expect he will.
All right. Thank you very much, Timmy Dooley, Fianna Fáil Senator. We'll take a quick break.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.